Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollerin, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Brenda McCoy, also known as Lady Brenda, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, we'll be talking to Christopher Penzack, who will be speaking to us about plant spirit healing. Before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host. Maureen, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing much better than I was last week. I wasn't there to introduce myself. Thank you. And thank you for asking, but I am doing much better. Thanks. And I'm looking forward to your show. Very much so.
So am I. And tell us about what you do. What is your specialty?
Okay, well, I like to always say this little this sentence. Tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. I'm very well versed in tarot, and I don't need them, but I do utilize them because I do. And I am an intuitive empath is the hardest part of it all. But I help people in for their direction, and also I help people also with the idea that we have our own personal power. I don't care what those psychics tell you, give me this money and you'll have all their curses done. That's just ridiculous. I give it people their personal power, enabling them to make choices. Every negative can be a positive, and I work at PsychicAccess.com with all you people. I love it.
Well, thank you, Maureen.
You're welcome.
And you are, you definitely have the tarot down. You definitely are an authentic tarot reader, that is for sure. Using
your
word, of course.
Yes, but thank
you. Stealing it, hijacking the authentic word.
That's okay. You said a compliment to me. I'll take that. Thanks.
Welcome. Steve, how are you tonight?
Very well, thank you, Brenda. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. It's a beautiful day here in California. Ha ha, no.
Well, we had nice weather in Tennessee, actually. I did some yard work today. It's starting to warm up now.
How's your new kitten? I have to always ask.
He's doing well. He's doing well. he gets himself into trouble. He ate a $1 bill.
Oh, how cute is that?
Yeah, he eats
at least
anything.
It's 100.
Yeah. He eats anything he can get, anything he can find.
Aww. So tell us about what you do.
I'm a psychic medium, Brenda, and also I am a hermetic astrologer. And hermetic astrology is slightly different from other forms of astrology because we work with what we call progressions. We don't see transiting planets as creating or mirroring events. We just see them as triggers, and they only trigger if deep underlying conditions are in place, and those conditions are measured by progressions. So it's quite a technical form of astrology, but it's very insightful and very accurate.
Oh, thank you. I know that we've been talking a lot about the hermetic astrology, and we always want to know more and more, and you have something in store for us, and I won't give it away until the end of the show, though, right?
Yes, that's true.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
And Bobby, how are you doing? Well, I don't know if we have Bobby tonight.
I'm doing fine. I'm really happy. I don't do me any justice, you guys. His voice is just too good.
Well, hopefully Bobby jumps in towards the end of the show when we have our...
Or no.
Oh, there you are, Bobby.
Hello. Yeah,
oh, boy,
I've been here.
Just
I kept
like,
saying hello, hello. Nobody
I didn't
listening.
Hear you.
Oh.
Okay,
that's
Bobby,
right.
Tell us about yourself. Inquiring minds want to know.
Hi. Okay. Well, I'm a psychic medium, also tuning into other people, and I like removing or helping to remove limitations, you know, that some people have. We all get caught up in our stuff.
Sounds like Bobby's being taken over by aliens.
Yeah, I think we lost his. He's talking gibberish.
I kind of like using my ability to help people uncover that and find it.
Well, we're hearing every third word, but it's a good word. Well, thank you, Bobby. Okay, without further ado, let's talk a little bit about our guest tonight. Christopher Penzack is a teacher, writer, and healing practitioner. His practice draws upon the foundation of both modern and traditional witchcraft, blended with the wisdom of mystical traditions from across the globe, and as a practitioner and teacher of shamanism, tarot, Reiki healing, herbalism, astrology, and the Kabbalah. He is the founder of the Temple of Witchcraft Tradition and a system of magical training based upon the material of his books and classes. He is an ordained minister, primarily serving the New Hampshire and Massachusetts pagan and metaphysical communities through public rituals, private counseling, and teaching. Though he travels extensively teaching throughout the United States, he is the author of over 15 books and CDs, most recently The Mighty Dead. For more information on Christopher, visit his website at Christopher Penzack, and that's PENCZAK.com. Welcome, Christopher.
Hello, how are you?
I'm thrilled to talk to you.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Well, tonight I want to talk about what this particular subject I found was just so fascinating. The plant. Let's talk a little bit about the plant spirit familiar. Can you explain to our listeners what a familiar is and what a plant spirit familiar would be?
Sure. A familiar is an old term used in the witchcraft traditions for a spirit that aids you. A lot of times today what we call a spirit guide might have been called a familiar spirit. It literally means a spirit that's familiar to you and that you're familiar to it. It acts as an intermediary, what's sometimes called a go-between. As the term kind of changed for a lot of people, they started thinking of familiars as animal guides, very similar to what people think of as totem animals. So a lot of people are familiar with this idea that everybody has a totem animal that guides them and protects them and helps heal them. And in the medieval witchcraft traditions, and when people talked about the trials against the witches and persecuting the witches, they would say one of the signs of a witch was having a strong relationship with some type of animal. And we believe that they had not only a strong relationship with that animal, but an animal spirit that goes with it. So that became the witch's familiar. So it's kind of like the idea of the black cat or the hare or the toad or the raven.
Mm-hmm.
And a plant spirit familiar is kind of like the idea that certain people who are attracted to plant magic and plant spirituality can have a plant spirit ally. So it's an actual intelligence from a plant, but that plant, just like an animal, can act as an intermediary. And just like an animal has a certain quality to it that helps bring blessings to a person, the plant will have a certain quality to it that can bring blessings to a person.
So you do believe that these spirits and familiars, they have a vibration similar to the animal kingdom, or is it different? Is it more like a stronger vibration? Does it contain memory?
I think it definitely contains memory. I think it is different, though. We kind of divide things into the orders of intelligence. So there's mineral life, there's plant life, and there's animal life. So humans would be in the animal life, and so we have the most in common with animals. So we have the most familiarity and resonance with animals. So their vibrations are similar to ours, so we can communicate their energies and their medicines a little bit better. So I think everybody has an animal totem or an animal familiar, but not everybody has a plant familiar. You'll notice some people have a green thumb, or some people will have this connection and draw to the forest and to, you know, all things that are green and might raise herbs and want to do herbal magic and herbal medicine. Those people are usually called to work with plant spirits. And in working with plant spirits, they're a little bit of a different vibration. They're a different intelligence. They connect to nature spirits in a way that are different from creatures of flesh and blood, but they have their own lessons. They have quite literal medicine to them, like herbs, but they also have a mm-hmm. spirit medicine to them. So that spirit medicine can help heal us or teach us or transform us.
So in that way, then, perhaps just like familiars, if it was an animal familiar or an animal spirit helper, do you believe that you can be chosen by different plants and attracted
Absolutely.
By different plants?
Absolutely. I think certain plants choose you, and I think certain times you can ask to work with certain plants. I believe in the teachings that we put across in our temple, the idea that there's three main types of plant spirits that you can work with. They're the healing plants that are called balms. So they're the spices in your spice rack, and they're the herbs at the herb store. But generally, when you work with their energies, they bolster your life force. They make you healthier. They make you stronger. Then there's the banes, and the banes are the poisonous plants. And a lot of people are afraid of the poisonous plants, but their spirits are really great teachers and initiation. A lot of the great metaphysical initiations in the old temples, they're about contemplating life and death. And so the poisonous plants help us understand spirit through life and death. And each one has its different type of teaching to it. And then there's tree teachers. And the tree teachers are like the old wise ones of the forest. They've been around the longest. They keep the deepest memories. They keep the songs of the earth. And they can teach you how to be a priest or priestess of the forest. So depending on what type of spirit you're attracted to, and you can have a plant spirit ally in all three of those categories. One can help you stay healthy. One can bring you into the mysteries. And one can be kind of a guiding mentor to be a priest or priestess.
That is so fascinating, because we get so far away from the plants. And if you look back, like especially with the Druids, they were all about, you know, the trees and the different significance of the different trees and all the different plants. And we've gotten so far away from it. Like, you live in the city. What do you know of that? You know, you almost have to go backwards. But do you believe that we contain memories within us of our past lives when we have worked with trees and we have worked with the banes and the balms?
Absolutely. I think we carry both soul memory and we carry memory in our blood. So I think all our ancestors at one time were all connected to some group of people that used plant medicine. And then likewise, we have this sense of global memories of different incarnations where we might have worked in societies and in ancient worlds that, you know, were really much more in tune than we are today. But I think even if you're in a city today, you'll be amazed at what you can find. You know, just growing up through the cracks in the street, you know, growing wild in the parks, you know, the plants can't be contained. And there's so many magical plants that you can find and you'd probably think that are just weeds. And if you get a good plant ID book, or if you walk with somebody who knows, you can find that there's all sorts of spirit helpers out there that you might be ignoring up until now. So nature's all around us. We're always in nature, even when we're in the city, even when we're, you know, surrounded by concrete. It finds a way.
Well, that brings me to my next question, because in your books and the information about your books, it talks about herbalism. And I know that there is a difference between herbology and traditional herbalism. Can you explain a little bit about the background of traditional herbalism? I think that's kind of what we're talking about here, right?
Right, right. Well, I think in the end, the difference is kind of artificial between the two. I think people who use the word herbology more often are also looking a lot at the science of things. But mm-hmm. I think a lot of the people who do the traditional folk medicine and herbalism, why they might not be as educated in the biochemistry and the molecular science, a lot of what they're doing is supported by that, you know. So I think it's an artificial line, and I know herbalists who've learned more of the science, and I know scientists who've learned a little bit more of the folk medicine to make it practical. So, but I think in the end, the traditional medicine is about really working with not just the spirit of the plant, but each plant has a nature to it. You know, there's chemicals in all the plants that, you know, we don't understand what they do for the plants, but we know what they do inside people, and we know what they do inside of animals. So in my mind, in the evolution of nature and spirit, you know, the plants want to be eaten, the plants want to be used as medicine, the plants want to integrate with human consciousness and animal consciousness and, you know, really have that partnership, because a lot of the chemicals really just seem to be healing aspects. So why would they have that for their evolution? There must be some type of symbiosis that's going on there. And in traditional herbalism, you know, we're really looking to understand what are the patterns, you know, what does an herb look like it does? What is its coloring? What is it associated with astrologically? And we use those associations to figure out how it works in the body. Like a lot of herbs that are associated with Jupiter are actually liver tonics. And in astrology, Jupiter rules over the liver. So, you know, it's a one way to kind of do diagnosis. Some people do diagnosis by astrology in very traditional kind of medieval forms. Others will, you know, go by symptoms. Some will go by, you know, skin color and pallor and do different types of diagnoses. But it's very similar, the Western herbal tradition is very similar to what people think of as Chinese traditional medicine and Ayurveda in India. It's just the problem is that it's not been codified, it didn't survive in a kind of more scientific form, you know, and a lot of the modern medicine replaced it mm-hmm. in Europe. And so we were really out of touch with our natural forms of medicines in the West.
We are, and that's fascinating to add the planetary associations in there. And there's planetary associations and astrological associations. And how does that integrate? Like, for example, a person's horoscope. We had kind of touched on that in some shows before, but never really, you know, gone into it. Like in a person's horoscope chart, of course, you're going to have their aspects and their place, you know, their planetary placements and their astrological signs. And these all have, and the herbs all have planetary, they have associations with all of that, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yep, they have associations with the four elements, which is a part of astrology. They have associations with the planets. Traditionally, in classical astrology, they use seven planets, but you can expand it with the modern planets. And they have astrological sign associations. So there's parts in your astrology chart that tell you a bit about your health. So when something's transiting through, let's say, the sixth house is daily health. So if you decide that, you know, there's something going on and someone's not feeling well, I'll always look to see, you know, what's going on to their sixth house, a relationship to their sixth house. And that might give me an idea of what planet and, you know, what that planet's about. So that planet might tell me, oh, this is the system that might be going out of whack for that person, and give me an idea of some of the herbs that I might be able to use to help them. And it also corresponds to a lot of the mental, emotional things that we associate with the planets and signs. So if someone's feeling upset, you know, their digestive system, they've got an upset stomach, what else is influenced by that astrology to make me think, you know, are they upset emotionally? Are they upset mentally? Is this a work issue? Is this a family issue? And it can give you a good dialogue to really kind of get to the root of what's causing the illness for the person.
Yes, because healing is a holistic thing, mentally, emotionally, and physically.
Absolutely. You look at the whole picture of the person.
You have to. That's true. So do you believe that if you are communicating with the, or you have a good rapport with the different plants as an herbologist or, you know, as an herbalist, that these plant spirits, you know, if you work with them, they can aid in you know, bringing about healing? So what are some of the ways? Is it by ritual? Is it by actually creating formulas, you know, that you can aid in healing with that?
Both of them. I mean, I think the first thing you need to do when you work with the plant spirit is to get to know the plant. So by growing the plant, observing how it grows, observing what it needs, you know, getting in touch with its scent and its taste, incorporate it into your life, making it into a tea, making it into a tincture, taking it into your body so you can communicate with it a little bit better. Sometimes in visionary work and meditations or what people consider to be like shamanic journeying with drums, you can have a visionary experience and communicate with the spirit of the plant. It might literally tell you something, or it might tell you something by showing you something in your mind's eye, or you might get a feeling come over you. But, you know, there's this whole idea that herbalism came about from a scientific perspective through trial and error, you know, and people had no idea what the herbs were used for. And so you got sick with, you know, whatever the illness was, you went to the old wise woman and she'd give you something and she'd observe how it worked. And if it worked, she wrote, remember that. And if it didn't work, she'd, you know, not use that. But there's so many poisonous plants out there, too. I think the wise woman would have killed a lot of people. So if you're in a village and the wise woman killed somebody,
oh, no.
You know, you're going to go back to her. So if you talk to anybody at an indigenous level of kind of tribal culture today, if you go into the Amazon, if you go to parts of Central America, parts of Africa, and you say, how'd you learn, like, these really complex ideas about the chemistry of the plants? They'll say the plants told them, or Mother Earth told them, or the jungle told them. You know, so there's that communication once you're, you know, in rapport with the plant spirit. It'll tell you how to use it. A good herbalist who's connected to a particular plant might find that they can get a particular plant to do something that's not traditionally on the books, you know, and then they may find that, you know, they have one plant that they add to everything because even though it's not supposed to be used for particular things, but just that plant is powerful for them and it adds to the magic. And then you'll find that, like, in different tribes, even in America, if you look at different native tribes, they had some of the same plants, but they might have used the plant for different reasons. You know, so that plant had a different relationship with those people. Some used echinacea. A lot of people are familiar with echinacea today.
Right.
As an immune support. You know, you take it when you think you're going to get sick. Others used it as an anti-venom. It draws out venom from snake bites, you know, or insect bites. So, you know, it depends on what the tribe or the person or the healer's relationship is with that plant.
So if a person was going to start working with herbs just, you know, in the very beginning, What would you recommend how a person gets started? Like grow a little garden and try to listen to them and meditate? And
I think with the plant spirits, you know,
yes.
I would start by growing a little garden, even just a little pot garden, a container garden on your porch. It doesn't have to be, you know, deeply elaborate. But choose some of the healing herbs or choose some of the magical herbs. Really do the research to make sure you know what's poisonous and what's not. And that the things that are not poisonous, you know, make very basic medicines of them, make very basic tonics. Like a great one to start, because it's one of my allies, so I always like to, you know, give it a little PR, is lemon balm. Lemon balm is part of the mint family. It's very, very gentle. You can have the tea just for fun and flavor. It's not going to have such a strong medicine that it's going to affect you in a deep way. But it's a great supportive herb. It makes everything bright, makes everything cheerful. So, you know, and it's very easy to grow. So grow a pot of lemon balm, meditate a little bit with it, drink a cup of its tea, you know, and really kind of get in tune with it. And then once you have a feel for some of the plants, you can get a little bit more intricate. If you're somebody who's a ritualist, you can do rituals with them. If you like to do any type of shamanic journey or deeper meditation, you can meditate with the pot of plant, you know, by you and or out in your garden if you're growing it out in the garden. But it's the idea of kind of getting in touch with the earth. I'm a big believer in meditation, so I think, you know, a great skill to have, whether you're involved in plants or not, is to be able to quiet yourself and to go within, and to be able to quiet yourself and go within near a plant or leaning up against a tree or in the garden, you know, really opens you up to those intelligences.
Well, meditation really is the key in all of our work, isn't it?
Yeah,
I really need to...
Great advocate of that.
It's like, you can't... That's how we, I think all of us, psychics, healers, you know, practitioners, if we can't get in there and we don't get in tune, then we might as well not even do it, right?
Right. Well, I think being able to control whether you can get into that altered state or not is what, you know, the basic skill for all those things is, you know, whether you apply it towards mediumship, whether you apply it towards reading cards, whether you apply it towards plant magic, you know, you have to be able to communicate with the universe somehow, and I think quieting the mind is a key.
And the plants can definitely, like people meditate, and in their visualizations a lot of times, plants are involved. Have you noticed that? Trees, you're in a meadow, you're in grass. You know, it's like nature embraces you through this.
Absolutely. And I think nature calls us back and wants us to be connected.
It really, because it is all about the interconnection. And I know we could go so far with all these. There's so many ways the herbs are prepared and the different types, the roots, the flowers, the stems, all of that. Now, the ancient Egyptians, they were the ones that they're kind of known as the forerunners of aromatherapy. And
right.
So I have a question about you with the aromatherapy and the plant spirits. Do you believe that the aromatherapy oils contain that spirit in there, because the ancients did?
Absolutely. I mean, the essentially what an essential oil is the volatile chemicals of a plant. It's what makes that plant unique.
It's like a life force, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And when you think of breath, so many cultures look at breath as what carries life force. You know, like in India, they call prana and pranayama is breathing
mm-hmm.
exercises, and prana is the life force you take in. So whatever you're smelling when you're taking in that life force, I think life force is transmitted across the air. At least it's one way to transmit life force. So when you distill like the powerful chemicals, which is really a powerful aspect of their life force, into a little bottle, I think it definitely carries, because it's the unique signature of that plant. You know, on one hand, the essential oils have that kind of concentrated power to it. I'm also a big advocate of what are called flower essences or vibrational remedies.
Tell us a little bit about that. I'm not real familiar with that. Aromatherapy, but not the flower essences so much.
Yeah, it's the other end of the spectrum. So where aromatherapy has very concentrated chemicals, and there's some dangers with the aromatherapy in the sense there's certain chemicals that can burn you, or there's certain chemicals, the flower essential oils that you shouldn't have if you're pregnant, because they can cause a spontaneous abortion. On the other side of the spectrum is the flower essences. The flower essences are made by soaking flowers in water, and then there's a method to preserve them. And when you measure them out for doses, you measure them out by drops, and you keep on diluting them. So there's very little chemical to it, but the idea is that the spirit of the flower gets imprinted upon the water. The beauty of it is that it has a lot of magic, and it has a lot of what we consider to be the vibration of the plant, but it doesn't have a lot of the chemical to it. So you don't have to worry about interactions if you're on any type of medication. You don't have to worry about overdosing and making somebody toxic with it. They can have very profound spiritual vibrational effects, but just like carrying a crystal is not going to, you know, cause you to have an interaction through medicine. It's the same thing with the flower essences. It works in a very similar way to carrying crystals and stones, but it's plant energy rather than stone energy.
It sounds almost like a plant energy homeopathy type of an approach.
It's actually, it's a step away from homeopathy. The gentleman who really made it famous in the modern era was a homeopath. His name was Dr. Bach. But usually
people say
his name is PhD and think Bach. But he's put out a line of flower essences that you can get, you know, any health food store. But a lot of people don't realize you can make your own. And I find that very empowering. So you just kind of basically, you know, get a bowl of water and you soak the flowers under, you know, sunlight. And you can drink right from that if you're going to do a ritual, or you can preserve that water with a little bit of alcohol and measure it out. And it's a little bit more complex than that, but it's pretty simple. You don't need anything expensive. Like if you wanted to make your own essential oils, you need a whole distilling equipment and, you know, a little bit more of a laboratory setup. With flower essences, everything you have in your kitchen can help you do it.
So you could put like some flowers and some vodka and drink it? No, I'm kidding.
Actually, that would make a tincture, but yes, you could.
it would be a spontaneous tincture, right?
You know, all sorts of stuff, yeah.
So what is the of the flower essences? Now, I remember the Bach, and I call them Bach, but that could be wrong. There's one called Rescue Remedy. And years ago, and he's now passed away, I had this Arabian horse that I used to go into the show ring, and he was just very high. And I would put drops of that Rescue Remedy inside an apple and he'd eat it and it would calm him down.
I'd have no doubt about that. I think animals respond really well to the essences.
Animals seem to, the flower essences.
Yeah. Well, I think they don't have a lot of the baggage. I think people think, oh, this is not a strong chemical, or, you know, what is this? It tastes like water. You know, can this really help me? You know, they think it's a little too out there for most people. It still has an effect, but I think they still have to go through the filter of the mind, where animals are just like, you know, they can feel the vibration and, you know, is this going to help them or not? If they feel it's going to help them, they're going to take it in and, you know, they don't have to bypass all the ego stuff that we have to go through.
They're not polluted by the gobbledygook.
Yeah, in many ways.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about the past life associations or the transcending of lives of plants and what, in your mind, because you've worked with the plant spirits a lot, what do you feel are some of the most powerful plant spirits out there, like herbs, for example?
Most of the things that you would get, you know, in a health food store are these power plants that fall in the balm category. And although they look innocuous, they look like little weeds, they don't look like, you know, anything that's that much to most people, and they think of something powerful. They're plants that wherever they've shown up in the world, they've been recognized by the magical practitioners as having a power. Like I think of St. John's wort. You know, St. John's wort is this very powerful, very life force, vibrant energy. But if you look at it, it looks like a little scrub weed by the side of the road. You know, it has a little yellow flower to it, but it has such magic to it. So St. John's wort has this five-petaled yellow flower. And if you look down at it from the top, the leaves are equal distance and they form an equal-armed cross. And both the five petals, like a five-pointed star, and the equal-armed cross are both symbols of protection. So people have recognized that it protects you from harm, it protects you from evil, it protects you from unwanted spirits, it protects you from nightmares. You know, and it's interesting to watch the octaves of the different plants. Like what they do medicinally has a thread to what they do magically, has a thread to what they do as a healer. So, you know, all this magic has been about protection. In the medicinal world, when it's used for really healing shock and trauma. Because usually when we feel unsafe, we feel like we've been shocked, we've been pushed out of our body, we feel like we're not connected. So the oil of St. John's wort helps with burns and helps with bruising. The tincture of it also helps calm us down. A lot of people think of St. John's wort as this kind of tranquilizing or uplifting agent because people take it when they're depressed. And really what it's doing magically and metaphysically, its power behind it, is it brings in more light. When it brings in more light to your physical body, it heals you. When it brings more light into your mental, emotional body, it lifts up depression. It kind of takes the darkness out. As a flower essence, it's great for nightmares, and it really kind of cures any type of nightmares. It's great with kids who suffer from nightmares because it makes them feel kind of invincible in their dreams, which, you know, is perfect for them. And
wow.
You know, as a homeopathic remedy. It's called Hypericum, and it's used for nerve damage. You know, but there's this whole kind of thread that's going on here, whether it be tincture, tea, oil, homeopathy, flower essence, or just herbal spirit. It's the spirit of it, it brings in more light. And the way you can tell that is if you hold a leaf of St. John's wort up to the sun, it looks like it's pierced with holes.
Interesting. That's very interesting. I've never actually seen, I don't think I've ever actually seen an actual plant. I've had the dried, but I've never seen a live plant. That's very fascinating.
Right around midsummer, depending on where you are, you know, a little bit later, a little bit before, there'll be these little kind of yellow flowers that are, you know, less than knee high, growing by the side of the road. And if it's five-petaled flower, and if you can hold the leaf up, it's a thin leaf, and it looks like it's been pierced by a needle several times, that's St. John's wort. So you might be driving by it all the time and not realize it.
Now, a lot of the modern medicines are derived from herbs, of course, but without the good stuff. So is that why there's all these side effects?
I think so myself. I mean, even in simple things that they have what we consider to be active ingredients in the plant. So as medicines, we try to synthesize the active ingredients, thinking that's all we need because that's all we really understand. But I think it's all the what I would call passive ingredients is what brings the harmony and safety to it. You know, when we think of aspirin, aspirin comes from willow bark and the acetic acid in it. For a lot of people, when they take raw aspirin, it hurts their stomach. You know, it gives them a little bit upset stomach, or it's very rough on the lining of the stomach. You know, it works a lot faster because it's just that chemical to it. But if you made a tea or tincture of willow bark, I think all the other stuff that gets extracted helps it be gentler on your stomach. But, you know, people
it helps
want
it go through your system to be absorbed.
Absolutely.
We're going to pause for like a minute commercial, and we'll be right back, okay?
Excellent.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay, we're back with Christopher Penzack. And let's talk about some root fetishes and some of their history. What are root fetishes?
Root fetishes are just like in animal totemism, you have what's called, and it sounds kind of funny, but a fetish. And the fetish is some type of physical object that can help link you to that spirit. Today we use a lot of carved stones, and a lot of native traditions, particularly from the Southwest, would use carved stones. But in other times, a fetish might be actually something from the animal. It might be a feather. It might be a bundle that has the hair of the animal in it. It might be a tooth or a bone of some sort.
A rabbit's foot or something.
Yep, wrapped up in some type of ceremonial garb, maybe wrapped in leather or wrapped in cloth in some way. And you'd use that much like people would carry stones today for metaphysical energies. You'd carry it in your pocket to connect with that energy, or a shaman might lay it on a person's body to be part of the healing process. And what we can do with root fetishes, and there's other types of plant fetishes too, but the idea of the root is the root of the power, kind of the seed of the soul of the plant is often in the root. And some particular plants have a deep power to them because they're all about the root, the medicines in the root and the powers in the root. Like one of my favorites to talk about is the mandrake plant. You know, people are familiar from Harry Potter pulling up the mandrake plant.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's the power of that plant is really in the root, although the leaves have some power too. And so you'd make a talisman out of the root, but it's not just a talisman like a good luck charm or something like that. It's the idea that the spirit of the plant resides in the root. When you harvest it with respect, you ask the spirit to stay with the root. There's different processes in which you have to enliven or feed the root. You might rub it with oil, or you might have to spritz it with some type of cologne or some type of tincture to it. But the idea you're constantly feeding that connection so the spirit can stay there. But by carrying it with you and using it in ceremony, it creates a living talisman or a living focus for that plant to work with you. So even when the plant is no longer in season, in the wintertime, you can still be working with the plants. You can still kind of have them. You can carry them with you wherever you go. And so whatever plant spirit you work the most with, or particularly at any given time, if you make a fetish out of it, that way you have its energy constantly with you.
So, and the mandrake kind of looks like a little man, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, it looks like it has little legs, and if it grows long enough, it looks like it grows up the little arms, and it's hard to grow. I'm in the process of growing some mandrakes now, and there's different plants that they call American mandrake and British mandrake, but they're not the true mandrakes. It's a plant called mandragora that's the true, kind of looks like a man mandrake. And they're fussy. They don't like to be too hot, they don't like to be too cold, they don't like to be, you know, too wet, but you can't leave them too dry. And, you know, I have friends that call them the emo kids of the plant world. You know, if you stare at them too long, they cry, they drop their leaves. If you touch them too long, they cry and drop their leaves. And they sulk for a bit. You can almost think that they're dead. And I always recommend with the mandrakes, you know, don't throw them out. Just keep watering them gently and don't overwater them. And often they'll come back. I actually had a mandrake that was just at the point where I was like, I think this is dead. I think it likes to play dead. And
How interesting.
Yeah, and it just, leaves started sprouting. So it was like when I was finally not looking, it decided to come back.
And isn't there an interesting like legend about harvesting the mandrake? Don't you have to use like it actually screams when you pull it out of the ground,
yeah,
and doesn't it have to be harvested by a white dog? What's that all about? What's that
deal? The story of it is, and I think the truth behind it is that the mandrake is a powerful plant that doesn't like to be uprooted. So when it does, it releases a lot of energy. And it goes into that sulking period. So, you know, as magic became more demonized over time, it was this idea that the scream of the mandrake, the energy that it released, could kill anybody who heard it. So the way it was harvested was you would have to loosen the soil around it, and there's all sorts of kind of folklore that's not necessarily true around it, like saying that it would only grow under the gallows where somebody was killed, or it would only grow at the crossroads, or only grow at a graveyard. But you'd have to kind of loosen the dirt around it and then tie to its top a string or a rope to it, and then you'd tie it to a dog. You know, I've not always heard that it had to be a white dog. Sometimes I've heard it had to be a black dog. But then you'd put meat of some sort just out of the reach of the dog, and then you'd leave. And the idea was the dog would uproot it, and then you could come back for it. And if the scream was going to kill anything, it would kill the dog and not you.
Oh, no!
Some would say the dog was immune because it was a creature of nature. It was only people that it would kill. But either way, you got the root from it. Now, I've unearthed mandrakes before, and nobody's died, so you know that's a folk legend. But I think it
that's
really speaks
brave
to the power
of you.
Yeah. Well, see, so, you know,
have to put,
seeds,
some flower essence in vodka first, right? That and yes. Then do it.
Take a little shot and pull the mandrake out. Exactly.
You know, I have a question from the chat room, and
sure.
You know, it's kind of an incomplete one, but what I'm getting, it's Reggie from the chat room, and he kind of wanted to know, you know, about the vitamins that are contained in the herbs, and if you personally get all your vitamins from the different herbs that you take.
Well, I believe the best medicine you have is your food, you know, so I think I think more of vitamin and mineral content through the food that I take. You know, but that being said, I'm still, you know, a modern American living in the world, so do I always eat the best I could possibly? No, not exactly. I do sometimes take different vitamins. I'm a big believer also in kinesiology or muscle testing. So often if I'm going to take some type of health food supplement, I will test myself for it muscle-wise and just basically ask, is this vibration, is this the stuff that's in this good for me or bad? So that's kind of how I pick my supplements. So sometimes I take vitamin supplements. Sometimes I'll take herbal supplements that I haven't grown myself, or that, you know, I don't know where they've come from and I haven't made them myself, just because it's something exotic that I needed or it was something I didn't have in stock. And, you know, there's certain herbal companies that I would trust and certain stores that I trust that make medicines. I have a local shop where I actually studied some herbalism, and, you know, I know the people who make the medicines there. And so, you know, if I can't get something, make something myself, they're my first go-to place. And then if I have to get a commercial brand of something, there's some places that I trust to go to and brands I trust.
And so you muscle test yourself with that too?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And for people who have difficulty with muscle testing, you can do the same thing with a pendulum. Usually somebody does well with the pendulum, doesn't do so great with muscle testing, and vice versa. But there's a way to get a good answer, although people look at you kind of strange when you're a store with a pendulum.
It's worth it, though, because
absolutely.
It might not be, the vibration might not be right for you. Now, what is the herbal, I hope I can say this right, homunculus?
Homunculus. Oh, homunculus is a alchemical treaty. It's an alchemical idea of creating life. So the original ideas of the alchemists that they were trying to, when their path to enlightenment, they're trying to become more like God. And part of one of God's qualities is to be able to create life. So the alchemist was seeking to do a lot of things that was godlike, like turning the lead into gold, producing immortality, and being able to create life. And the homunculus was how they did that. So an herbal homunculus is basically creating an herbal vessel, kind of like a root fetish, but a little bit more complex, a little bit more powerful. You might be making a spirit based on several different plant spirits. Usually it's created in a jar or some other type of vessel or container. Usually there's a liquid, which could be vodka, you know, depending on what you're using. but it could be any alcohol that's a preservative, really. And you'd put that as part of the bottle, and you'd put different herbs in as if you're going to make a tincture. But through the process of ritual, you're asking all the herbs to come together as a spirit, and or even if it's a single herb, asking that spirit to come out and asking it to do a particular work for you. So you might create an herbal homunculus of protective herbs and set it aside to with instructions to protect your home or to protect your business. Or different plants that might not always be available, you can make a single herb. Kind of, it's almost like a genie in a bottle, sometimes how it's perceived. Because when you want to work with the spirit, then you open up that bottle. I have one in my practice for the spirit of pokeweed. And pokeweed is a really powerful plant to stimulate change when people are stuck. Sometimes it's explosive change, so I don't use it all the time. But if I have a client that is really stuck, that we've tried a lot of different things, they can't kind of move through it, I'll bring out the pokeweed homunculus, the pokeweed bottle. And, you know, they're not taking it herbally, you know, because the pokeweed can be toxic, but the whole ritual went into making it. And so in a healing session, I will open up the pokeweed bottle, and I'll ask the spirit of the pokeweed to pass through that person and to help them get unstuck. And I would say 99% of the time it works, sometimes a little too well. Sometimes the person gets, like, too unstuck too quickly. But it gets things moving when things are stagnant. I also notice it starts to get things moving in my life, too, so I use it with care.
That's fascinating. Now, in creating these herbal tinctures and the homunculus and all of the preparations, will you be using the dried herbs or the fresh herbs?
You know, it depends on each case. I try to use, depending on what the type of medicine is that I'm making or the type of ritual I'm doing, I try to use fresh whenever possible. I really try to commune with the spirit of the plant if I'm making like an herbal homunculus and ask what does it want. Specifically for that pokeweed homunculus, the pokeweed bottle spirit, the actual plant that I was to make it out of that was living told me that it wanted me to do that. And it gave me specific instructions of when I was supposed to go out. I was supposed to go out under the full moon. And it wanted every part of the plant in every stage of its growth in the bottle. So it wanted part of the roots. And it wanted the leaves, and it wanted the berries, and it was in berry at this time because it was in the late summer, early fall. But it also wanted flowers, and all the flowers had passed. So I did everything that I could, and I was meditating with it, and I got the plant spirit, kept on saying it wanted the flowers, it wanted the flowers. And then almost overlaid in my mind was a map of our area, and it kind of lit up and said, that's where you're going to find flowers. It was by one of the state parks, and I found a large other pokeweed with little ones growing up around it, and the little ones that were growing up around it still had flowers to it, so I was able to get the flowers.
And so you took the fresh flowers and you put it in?
Yep, and I put it in the bottle. So the whole bottle turned almost black because pokeweed has a dark purple berry to it, almost a blackberry to it. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't see the flowers, but, you know, I have this big, beautiful purple jar now, and it's got the spirit of pokeweed in all its stages.
Oh, that is completely fascinating. So, You've written the book on plant spirit familiars, and then you have another herbal book. What can you tell us about that one?
Well, I don't have a specific full-on herbal book. I've got several books that have herbal magic in it. Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean the Green Lovers book. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry, for a moment. Gotcha. That's actually an anthology. I didn't write it, but I was the editor and the compiler for it. It's a nice companion to the plant spirit familiar book. Each chapter is a different entry by different authors, and I've done a few in there, but I'm not the sole author of it. And each entry is based on a specific plant. So it's that person, and we tried to pick people with strong relationships with particular plants and wanted to share that relationship with people. So everybody who contributed to that shared their own relationship with the plant. Some of it was very spiritual. Some of it, for some people, was very biological. For some of them, it was very medicinal. But everybody got to share their perspective on some of their favorite plants. So in that book, I wrote about lemon balm and dragon's blood and datura, I think, were my big ones, and oak. And those are some of my strongest plant allies. But we have all sorts of different plants in there, and it was really great to have so many people contribute to it.
Datura, now that's a pretty powerful plant, isn't it? Datura?
It is. Datura is one of my favorites. Datura is probably my strongest ally.
So would you consider yourself a shamanistic herbal healer?
It's an uncomfortable word sometimes for people, but the word I identify the most with is witch. To me, the shamanic traditions and the European traditions evolved into what we think of as witchcraft today. I know there's a lot of stigma to it and a lot of misunderstandings around it.
There isn't to me, honey. Not
excellent.
To me.
So you never know who's listening. So I always like to, be clear with that. I really identify, with the word witch, but I think shamanism is a part of witchcraft. I think ceremony is a part of witchcraft. I think herbalism is a part of witchcraft. So it's the big hat that kind of fits all the things I do.
The big pointy hat, right?
Exactly. Yeah, the only other word that I really like for myself is another word people misunderstand. It's called occultist. People hear that and they get a little frightened too, but an occultist just likes to, look for things that are hidden. So that's
very old school.
Yeah.
That's very Aleister Crowley-ish,
But, if you like some of the old things, Paul Hisson's Master in Herbalism, you'll appreciate that.
Oh, I'm dating myself. That was one of my very first books that I found. So that's good. And I recommend it, If you ever, if anybody
book.
Can ever get a hold
really
of it, I think
book.
It's out of print.
He recently put out, the last couple of years, a new tarot book, and I thought that was excellent too. Really historical.
Wow. I'm going to have to get that one. I don't even have that one. So tell us about some of your other books. Now, you just have put out a book called The Mighty Dead, right? That's your newest book, huh?
That was my newest book that came out in February. And through that whole process, The Mighty Dead is really about working with not just the ancestors, but working with the enlightened ancestors. So a lot of traditions talk about, in the New Age world, where people talk about the ascended masters, or if you're Buddhist, the Bodhisattvas, or if you're Christian, particularly Catholic, or into Catholic Christian folk magic, the saints. It is a sense of sanctified dead, the dead that have reached the next level of understanding. In the witchcraft tradition, it's called the Mighty Dead. Another name for it sometimes is called the Hidden Company. And so this book is based a lot of my research and my experiences with them, and trying to share that perspective of witchcraft to the world.
Well, we do have on two of our co-hosts are mediums.
Oh,
and
cool.
They're very good mediums, and so they speak very often to those who have passed over. And do you have that in your book about how to communicate?
It's a little bit about it. Really, the kind of speaking with the dead that people have known, that what we call the beloved dead. We talk a little bit of the different types of beloved dead, and we get a little bit more into the rituals and ceremonies that have been forgotten. How to build an ancestral altar and why you build an ancestral altar, and talking about the dead that are just not the people that you knew in life that you loved, but the dead of the people who were buried in the land that you're at right now, in the town that you live in, and the dead of people you identify with who you might never have met, the dead that inspire you, and the dead of your spiritual traditions. So there's a little bit of mediumship in there, but it's not a book on how-to mediumship. It's the strongest mediumship in the book is mostly in working with the mighty dead, and doing that, we do that more through visionary ritual. So there's certain images we focus on to connect with them that we feel that kind of brings them to us, just the way that a Catholic might pray to an icon of a saint to really connect to that energy, or a Buddhist will really look at a statue of a bodhisattva. So we don't really quite have that same type of artwork, but we've got stories and imageries about the witch's sabbat and about the grove of the witches and the kind of dancing around the pillar of fire at the great sabbat. And it's almost like an image kind of in the East, they have the idea of the enlightened masters in Shambhala. In the witchcraft tradition, the idea that there's kind of an eternal sabbat going on in the woods where it's beyond space and time, and all the witch masters have gathered. And you know, if you use that imagery, you can connect to them too, just like meditating on a mandala of Shambhala can help you get there.
Well, and I want to mention to our listeners that, you know, to you have written so many wonderful books, and they can go on our on the Psychic Access Talk Radio guest page, and they can check out. We've listed all your books there. They're all there.
Cool.
So that everybody could see, you know, all these wonderful books that you've written. Well, you know, Christopher, we're getting to the end of the interview, and I want to say thank you and merry meet.
Thank you, merry meet as well. It's
and
fun.
You know, I have a great deal of respect for your knowledge, and I appreciate you sharing your insights with us tonight. And again, I want to say, for more information or to make contact with Christopher Penzack, visit his website at www.ChristopherPenzack.com. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Blessed be.
Blessed be. Okay, I want to take a few moments to make a few announcements. Make sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later, not now, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you are unable to catch our last week's show, Communication with Animals, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all our previous shows on Psychic Access Talk Radio. Under the archives links, please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with others. And also visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from the paranormal reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics, and I can attest to that, on the net, go to psychicaccess.com when you'll find the best verified, accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. It is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit www.psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room. And listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There is something for everybody. So please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Okay, the call-in number for later is, and I know Maureen's going to put it in the chat room, 724-444-4851. Okay, Steve, what did you think of the interview?
I really enjoyed it, Brenda. I thought he was he's a really knowledgeable guy. I really liked the connection he made between the herbs and plants and the planets, because I was taught that the planets are connected to certain plants and remedies. So, for example, if we see that somebody has a very discordant aspect involving one planet, we can look at the antidote in another planet and potentially prescribe the herbs of the planet that represents the antidote. So it's fascinating to hear somebody make that connection between plants and planets. It's very interesting.
I like the part about the homunculus. The alchemy of the plants. That was really fascinating to me.
Yes. What does homunculus mean, though?
The homunculus, I think, is like an, like if you, it's like a, some type of a, like a combination or a brew or a, you know, like the alchemists put together something to create life or to create something for a purpose. That's what I think the homunculus, that's what I got from him. The homunculus is. And, You know, I've heard about that. I know that they do. You do it with stones. You can do it with different crystals. You know, with that type of work, you've heard of it, haven't you? With crystals and stone.
No, I haven't actually.
Gemstone waters.
Oh, I've heard of gemstone waters. Yes.
Yes, and so I think it's the same principle with the gemstones being almost like the alchemy, because you're working with the mineral, you know, the not the plants, but with the mineral. So it was very fascinating when he talked about that. I think I'm going to start doing some of that. That sounds interesting to me.
Yeah, that sounds right up your street, Brenda. You have to send me a homunculus.
I have to send you my personal homunculus.
Yes.
I mean, it sounds almost like a disease, but a good
sounds
one.
Sounds like a
huh?
boil or something, doesn't it?
A bane.
Like,
or
oh,
a boil.
No, that's it's a homunculus.
Oh, I have a homunculus again. But actually, it's mysterious. I like, you know, I'm going to actually look for some pokeweed, too, because that's a pretty powerful herb. Well, so Maureen, what did you think?
My favorite is peyote, but
yeah, we didn't get into those. The hallucinogenics.
No, I was surprised too, because that's a pretty. Not that I'm, you know, I want to make it perfectly clear. I'm not just telling everybody to go out and start checking out on peyote land, but it is a cactus, but it's a plant, of course, and also. Yes, as Steve said, he was very, he knew his stuff, very well versed in what it was a perfect guest for the topic. But he was talking about fetishes. And I'm looking at them right now. They're about 20 years old. A dear friend of mine who's a very honorable woman, Indian woman, she gave me these. They're about 20 years old. But so I have a. And these ones are like for east, north, south, east, and west. And the fetishes are like, I have a turtle, a frog, a bear, and a wolf. And so he talked about so many different things. I thought it was fantastic. And then when he was talking, I went over to my book, my lovely little book library, and I pulled out, I have a whole book. I forgot I even had it. I'm going to start looking through it on herb plants. And it's really a thick book with very small print. But it got me thinking about, especially with my health issues, or, you know, all of us have it. I'm going to start paying more attention and maybe checking out, because, you know, it really does make sense that before we were ever around, how do you think people got through, you know, their Neanderthals or whoever they were? By plants and herbs and, you know.
Well, they tasted it. Like, there was something that, I guess it was trial and error.
Well, exactly.
They took teeny tiny little pieces of it, like tiny, like.
Yeah, like, in order for us later to find, you know, thousands of years later for us to figure it out. That, and like he said, it's also with our food as well. But then again, you know, a lot of our food has formaldehyde in it. Ew. But.
No, that's a sickening thought.
You know, it does. It does, though. I'm not kidding. I say no lie. And a lot of times they're talking about. I saw a documentary, some of it has gasoline. Regular, like a gasoline. Not like a big quantity, but still something that you're putting in your body. So, but, you know, if you can get foods, like he said, I remember him saying, it's really, you can find foods with this, well, you have to know where you are and go shopping at a proper place, but, and I'm not going to give any plugs in as to where to go with that, but I'm really, he inspired me to start thinking more about maybe me growing some herbs that might be helpful for me. I really liked the interview. Thank you.
You know, that it got me thinking too. I'm definitely going to do the homunculus. To me, that's mysterious, and that's something that I'm going to have to do it. I'm just going to have to.
I'm going to listen to this. This is a type of. I'm going to listen to again for a couple of times, so I can take it all in more on the archives. By the way, everybody, archives, because, you know, it really is. There was so much information, and I would really like to listen to it. I will be.
And this is such, the subject of herbs is in herbology and herbal medicine, herbal magic is just, I mean, all the ancients practiced it. I mean,
Right.
The ancient Egyptians were, of course, they were very into it. I mean, it was a huge part of their study for their priests and priesthoods.
Right.
Priests and priestesses.
As it should have been. And as we now should reconnect with, well, people are reconnect. That's why you had a guest on like this.
Well, they need to reconnect because it's...
And educate. Because I'm sure a lot of people are listening to this, or I would check out the archive again. Listen really carefully because a lot of people, our listeners, you know, would... You know, a lot of this information I forgot. I even have books that I remember. These are 20-year-olds, and I forgot I even had this, that it was even important. So it was really great to hear it, to have the show. I really appreciate you doing a show on this tonight. Really.
Oh, thank you. And well, Bobby, is Bobby with us, or is he taken over by aliens?
I don't know. I think he's bebopping Bobby.
Bebopping Bobby?
Yeah, I think he's kind of hanging out, coming back. He's off and on. He's not on right now. He's not with us right now. He's spiritually with us right now.
He's with us in spirit, but he's not with us.
Yeah, he'll be back. Honesty.
He sent me a note that it says, "I just disconnected."
Yeah. Oh, the man sent it. You said his name, not me. That's part of that PK stuff are you doing? No, he's coming.
Here he is. He's trying to get in.
I'm in.
Are you in like Flynn?
Like Flynn, baby. That's weird, man. You said, "Let's go to Bobby," blah, blah, and all of a sudden it just totally disconnected. And I'm like, oh, wow. Universe does not want me to talk tonight.
So what do you think about the herbology and the plant spirits? What's your take on that?
Well, I love a lot about what he was talking about. You know, of course, the spirit of nature and things like that. There's so much that was above my head, though, that's a little too much for me, calling on the spirit of the plant and that kind of thing. It's a little out of my range of, you know, kind of belief or understanding. But there's no doubt that with the plants, you know, the healing, amazing powers of plants and such like that, I completely believe in all those herbs and, you know, with the many different types of medicines and things that they're finding or could find even that, you know, it makes you sick to think about that. There's so much out there in the rainforest and such that we're not collecting and not using to our benefit. But overall, I mean, absolutely completely agree with nature and mixing of different tinctures and putting things together. And that, you know, like I think you guys just started talking about the flower essences. I remember using a few tinctures way back when. Just, you know, you kind of search for something, don't you? You search for something to kind of help you do whatever it is you're trying to do, whether it be calm down or you want a little bit more peace, or you're trying to meditate, things like that. And I found them extremely helpful. I got out of them very quickly because, again, for me, I didn't want to rely on something like that to take me where I needed to be. You see what I mean? Like, so in other words, if you start taking the tincture every time before you meditate, what if I didn't have that? And then I would start to panic that I'm not meditating in the right way or that kind of thing. So I don't want to become hooked on too many, you know, tinctures and things like that. I want to be able to do it quite naturally myself rather than relying on something that's going to help get me there. You know what I mean? Except for the heroin. That's a different story.
Oh, get out of here. Well, you know, sometimes it can be used as a ritual. Like sometimes, you know, you like the Japanese have the tea ritual when
right.
they do their meditation and
right.
they use that green tea powder and stuff. And throughout history, thousands and thousands of years, herbs have been a part of our rituals. Well, think about it. Food is a ritual with the foods. You know,
yeah,
food
I completely agree. Ritualistic, you know, things like that. I mean, it definitely has its powers and it's, I mean, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to talk down about it and go, oh, that's hooey. It's just some of what he was talking about just was kind of out there for me. But overall, absolutely ritualistic and certain medicines, teas and herbs and things used for rituals. And, you know, when somebody dies and a certain herb is, you know, ignited and, you know, used, I totally agree with that. I love that. I love rituals in that way. And, you know, if I, just because let's say back here, I wouldn't use that or I didn't believe in it. if I went back to Egypt and I saw them performing some kind of a funeral service and it used all this stuff, I just think that's completely fascinating. I think also that you put your intent into, you know, using the plants and stuff like that. I think we can't help but mix with that and use our own intent. And so if they have an intent on healing and such, then I completely believe in it. But somebody who's completely relying on it and not stepping up to the plate, do you see what I mean? In other words, not,
oh yeah, I see what
with
you mean.
Nature. Yeah. If they're not mixing with nature, if they're not mixing with that and adding purification to all of that, then I don't think it's kind of like the Ouija board, like we talk about. They've got no business messing with it, you know.
Well, also in our psychic work, I don't know about you, but oftentimes when I've been, you know, giving readings to people, of course we never prescribe any medicine because it's not our place to do that. But sometimes it'll just come to me, like a different herb or green leafy vegetables or something green, or and it will just pop out of nowhere, and it ends up being the perfect thing for the people, for the person.
Yeah, I've done that. Like I always preface it with, you know, I'm not a nutritionist or anything like that. I said, but it feels to me that you need this would be extremely helpful, and you're right. So it's interesting that we're still tapped in and tuned into that type of information, even though I would never consider myself an herbologist or not even close, you know, but it's interesting how that flow of information comes through. It's got to be something to that, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I know at some point we're going to get really into the whole astrological predictive part of that whole thing. Right, Steve?
I would love to.
Yeah.
I would love to. You know, it's my passion.
Yeah, because apparently, and I believe this too, because I believe in herbal astrology, and I have books on it too. You can get very precise in diagnosing and prescribing of the different herbs for the different ailments per the chart, and not just your birth chart, but your progress chart as well. So,
yes, we have to monitor the progress chart. I know that some people monitor the transits, but the transits don't describe deep underlying conditions. So I think that for health, it's very important to look at progressions.
We all need to know about that anyhow, really, because they really tell us what's ahead, what we can expect on all the different aspects, you know, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It was a good thing that he brought that up too, because that's all the healing, don't you agree? It has to be on all three levels.
Yes, absolutely.
So
he's extremely knowledgeable, really interesting guy.
Well, he's back east. He's back on the eastern coast.
Is he?
He's a friend of a good friend of mine that was on our show, Raven Grimassi. So I kind of thought about when I thought about an herbal show, I thought it's got to be something interesting, not just the boilerplate. The herb is used for this and it's prepared this way, blah, 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 you know. Mm-hmm. There's just so much more about nature and about the plants themselves. So Maureen, are you going to try to put together some kind of tinctures and stuff, some flower essences?
And peyote.
Peyote, well, no. That can be really, like, they
no,
say
it,
that.
You just really can. You need to go out into the land of, New Mexico is one of my favorite spiritual stomping land. I mean, don't stay in the city, but, and also it can get you sick to your stomach. But, well, like you said, it's you and Bobby were talking about the ritual. Even you and I being raised Catholics too, Brenda, it's the ritual of the eating, even the, you know, the host, and also the ritual of the pizza pipe.
Pizza pipe.
Not Catholic, but you know, let's smoke the pizza pipe. What's that? I mean, it's like some of these things or shamans using certain things. Like I told you about my experience. I had some work done with the shaman, helped me get myself in order or whatever. And I spit flour water on me. But, you know, also, this stuff is a little bit above my head as well, except he had, he was so well versed in a lot of things that he was talking about. But yes, I am definitely going to do some of the nicety things.
Well, the flower things sound
exactly.
Easy.
Yes,
flower
exactly.
Things sound, I mean, and it's getting to be the season for different flowers.
Exactly. And lavender, and I want to do some lavenders and some, oh God, I just had my book out looking at some of the really cool things.
Lavender's a good one.
Yeah, and those are things those are lovely. I mean, and that's easy going, and I'm going to, as a matter of fact, because I have I'm glad you brought that up, because I have a nice little balcony here, like on the beach, and I can kind of do my thing. But so I'm definitely going to, I mean, I'm inspired to do that. So I'm going to think I'm going to get, yeah, and it is a time to do it. Absolutely. This is
the springtime. It's
yes.
Time to plant.
It's time to plant.
I'm going to announce the number for the readings again. It's 724-444-4851. And for those people who are going to call in, make sure you have just one question, because we can only really do one question at a time, you know, just to be fair to everybody else. So, is Bobby still with us? Hello, Bobby.
Of course, I'm here. Hello.
Have you ever used any herbal preparations for your kids,
Bobby? No, I can't say that I have. No. I mean, I guess it's because, number one, I'm not versed in it, but there, to just really be honest about it, like I always am, I've not met anybody who I completely trust that I would allow them to make anything for my kids who's that tuned in.
Not even chamomile tea or anything like that?
No, I've never used anything like that for them. There was some stuff that came into when we first had our baby girl, and there was some natural type of stuff that helped out with gas and things like that that they put into a kit. They sell it at stores, you know, for new mothers and such. And there was some natural type of butt cream and, you know, different things that you could get. And then there was some stuff that was for babies. I can't remember what it was called just now, but it's quite popular. And it worked brilliantly. But to have, somebody put together tinctures or chamomile tea or anything like that, I guess it's never come up because I've never been comfortable, or that isn't the first place that I've ever tuned into, do you see what I mean? So I'm sure that if it were appropriate, I would get a feeling like I should do that. But, you know, if I was concerned enough and there was something going on that I needed to take care of, I would actually, and I'm not just saying this, I would actually call you and Maureen, or, you know, even Steve. You guys are really the only ones that I trust with anything like that. And I would follow your directions to the letter, but otherwise it's never come up before.
He's so lovely. He's so dear and lovely to say that.
He is. I know.
We like him so much, Bobby.
I know.
You know, I wanted to say one thing, though, for kids. I always would, and I get what Bobby's saying. Absolutely. I would not do, from when my daughter was a little girl, although she's not now, but aloe vera is a perfect example of something that's so well acceptable.
And
you know,
it's healing. Very healing.
And it's healing. Everybody knows. You know, you have a sunburn, you put something like, because, well, we were living in California, of course, you know, the sunburn. And that's something I would always trust and know, because it's almost like that. It's almost like a staple that came in even through the generation of my mom, maybe. You know what I'm talking about? It's like something that's safety and all. You know, it was always safe. Aloe vera plant. I guess because they commercialized it a lot, too. Not like anything else. You know what I mean? They wouldn't
really
talk about
it. It's really a miracle herb. It really is.
It is. And I would have that. And the first thing, because I, you know, look, I had melanoma stage 3. I mean, from a sunburning. And, you know, my daughter, so anything to do with that, I would trust on my, that was the only thing I would trust to put on, to do with my kid, whatever. I'd wipe that thing. I love that. And, you know, now they have aloe vera. It says almost like, you know, you can buy aloe vera in the store now. It's supposedly 100%.
You can drink it internally, too.
Oh, really?
People who have ulcers.
Wow, I didn't know that.
It heals them internally.
That makes sense. Wow.
It makes a lot of sense. It really does. It doesn't just digest because it does go through you. So it's pretty amazing.
So that's a safe. That's one that's always been pretty safe and sound to me, you know, because it's been so marketed. It's been marketed like such. I don't know. To me, it has. It's just my point of view. Just saying.
Well, my family has been my guinea pigs with all the herbs that I've grown. I have to say, one time I made this thing for my dad's sinus. Oh, my God. I made onion juice because he had such bad sinus. He was having sinus and congestion. So I made this with onions. I made like an onion juice for him to drink. And you know what? It was disgusting, but it worked.
Yeah, so does jalapenos. To clear your sinuses.
Well, this wasn't as bad as this wasn't spicy, but you shave the onion like with a cheese grater, you know, and add water and stuff, and it was like a juice, and it cleared him right up, you know.
That's
he was really congested.
No, I like that idea. Well, you know, we'll look at the mustard old time. You know, the old time MERS.
Oh, mustard packet.
Mustard packet. That's
my grandmother put one on my chest. It was disgusting. A mustard.
I know. But, Pete, that's part of it. That's another one that's a very safe remedy. Now, again, my granny used to put mentholatum. Everything was mentholatum at the back of her tongue. It cured everything. You know,
on the back of the tongue?
Yes, honestly. Ooh. She would say, especially if it's sore throat, but you know what? I was raised, you know, this sweet little lady. She was born 1890, but mentholatum cured it. So she put it on the back of her tongue, and it would help your sore throat. And it wouldn't get you sick, but it was it was fascinating. But also, you know the movie my big fat Greek wedding. What was it?
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, remember how Windex everything about Windex?
Oh, I know everything was Windex,
and it cured everything.
That was my dad. That guy looked just like my dad, and he acted just like my dad. Full of drama. Everything was a drama.
But it was like the same thing, but Windex is not really herbal, everybody. Okay, but it's like my grandma used mentholatum for that. She called it mentholatum. I know
she called it mentholatum.
Yeah, mentholatum. Because that was around for quite a while. It was in those jars back in the 1900s, early, you know, that product. You know, it looks different, but I used to crack up. She'd say, I used to look like, for real. You know, I got to hand it to her because, you know, maybe she was on to something. I don't know, because that had eucalyptus in it. I mean,
that's right, it is. Has eucalyptus. And they say that there's a cure for horses who have pneumonia. They put it in there. They take the mentholatum and they put it in their nostrils.
Yeah, well, we put it everywhere.
Oh, okay, well,
under our nostrils, but that makes sense. No, I remember the only thing we didn't was. I remember she was a fascinating woman. She lived to be 95 years old, and she they had mentholatum all over. Anyway, that's my story. I'm done.
Steve, does your grandmother have any herbal remedies?
I can't remember her having herbal remedies. No.
No.
No, I don't. I don't remember.
Olive
don't
oil.
Recall.
Olive oil was good for the earaches. Remember in a sock?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Salt. Was it salt in a sock and olive oil? It wasn't that it. Something like
they
that.
They would heat the olive oil warm and put it in your ear.
Yeah, but I remember my mom used to put a white. Oh my God! I just had a flashback. I remember. But the mustard mustard packs, I mean, actually, that's a kind of cool thing you could make pretty easy, too. Because those things, I know they're kind of gross, but they have some type of very good properties. You know, just kind of messy gross.
Well, mustard seed is very medicinal.
Exactly. You know, so I'll do one later.
Well, we're waiting to see if somebody wants to come on with some phone calls here. I'll give the number out again. 724-444-4851. Oh, we've got something here about castor oil. Castor oil, they've been talking about it again, like it's something really, it's having a comeback, castor oil, I'll have you know. There's something to that one. And so, leaving on that note of castor oil, It has been. It's unbelievably bizarre. How can I help you, my dear?
It makes sense. It is. In October of 2012, I had three different readings with three very good psychics, excellent psychics, as a matter of fact. And all three of them agreed that I was going to be in a relationship with this man that I had just connected with. And here it's the end of March, and nothing has happened.
Let's take a look. Let's take a peek. Are you still communicating with him?
No, no. It was just twice that I was in his company, but you know, he came through pretty loud and clear in the cards for all three. Mm-hmm. And the one even said that I would be going on a trip with him this year.
Well, when I look into him, I'm seeing a lot of blocks around him. Like perhaps he wasn't finished with something. He approached you without being finished with something from the past. I'm also seeing a lot of conflict. Maybe he wasn't even telling you some things that were true. So what it looks like right now, it looks like that is in a place of limbo at this time. I really don't see that going forward. I have to be totally honest with you. And it's nothing. It has nothing to do with anything you did or said. It has to do with his actions. And, you know, a lot of times these were his intentions. These could be put out there as his intentions, but free will and circumstances, you know, especially if he can't get control of it, kind of overtake the situation. And that's what I see is happening. For you personally, I feel that he had a lot of the pieces and a lot of the sparks that you were attracted to, but I see him more as the one before the one. I feel that the real person is yet to come, and the real relationship is yet to come. I see somebody else for you. It's somebody completely new. Somebody a little bit younger, too.
Well, I see he was a little younger. But I just was really hoping, because I had three, and it was like, you know, every one of them were right on with the same message, you know.
Sometimes, you know, the energy can be there, and it could have fully have been his intention, and then he made a decision, and it was something, what it's looking like to me is there was unfinished business from the past. Did his name begin with a J?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's Jim.
Mm-hmm. He's in limbo still, and I don't see at this point that it can go forward.
Is that that it wouldn't happen at all? I mean, he has some things that he has to work through.
He has things that he has to work through. Will you never speak to him again? You know, I feel you'll still speak to him again. I do. I feel it's a possibility that because the way it ended was so incomplete that there still needs to be some contact there. Will it go forward into a committed relationship? This I can't see at this time, I have to tell you honestly.
Okay. All right. Well.
Okay, all honey.
Right. Just keep hoping, though, you know, because
I know. Hang in there, my dear.
All right. Thank you for taking my call.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Well, boy, we've had quite the roller coaster of interesting callers, haven't we?
It's never, you know, like Doug was saying, this has never happened.
This
in the
has
whole
never
history happened. That I remember.
You know what? It happens on my show.
Yeah, well, it doesn't. Once in a while, it has happened on mine, too. And if you come over there, just beware, because the universe has a way of biting your butt. But I am flattered, you guys. Listen, all these people that have nothing better in their lives to do but do that. It's so silly. Oh, God. And the word and verbiage they use is like, oh, my gosh. Like,
they were all friends, obviously.
Oh, it was so special.
And,
but, you know,
it was ambushing in the chat room, too.
I was kicking those butts out of there.
Like, good.
Yes, it was nice. And they can all, but how flattering is that? I mean, we kind of are so popular that they came to us. Wow.
I think it's very flattering. I mean, you've got so many people listening to you.
What? Oh, that must be Bobby's call.
Bobby, you have a call from North Carolina.
Cactus, 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 cactus
think it's another.
Oh, it's this guy Cactus again that was kicked out of the chat room.
Oh, well, yeah.
I have one word for Cactus, okay?
And I kicked him out.
Sit on it, okay?
Was Cactus the one with the erectile dysfunction?
Yeah,
or
something like that.
He's got a brain malfunction. Okay, Bobby, you've got a call from Hawaii. Good luck.
Oh, God. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. As he swims out with the sharks are swimming. So, hi, Hope from Hawaii. Hi.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Okay, you're welcome. I'm just a little hesitant. You got to understand, a little gun shy, but what can I do for you? How can I help you?
I'm so sorry. I'm really sensitive. And yeah, those other callers just brought in a really heavy vibe. My question.
Go ahead.
Thank you. My question is about my work.
Okay.
I live in Hawaii, and I am a massage therapist for 12 years now. And I started having pain on my hands and low back. And so I can only work 3 days a week now. And so I am trying to figure out what else should I do to make ends meet.
Okay. Well, what I want to understand is, you're a massage therapist now, is that correct? Or Reiki healer or something like that?
Yes. I work in a big resort spa but I can't work that much anymore because of it's very physical and my body can't, it hurts. So I can only work 3 days a week I feel comfortable with. And I really love doing what I do. But working 3 days a week is not enough.
Okay. So what other plans are you having then for finding a different type of job or for venturing out and finding something else to help make ends meet?
Right. I am really, I don't know what to do.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm asking you. So have you thought about anything else about other types of jobs that you might be good at that you can stay in Hawaii?
Yeah, I'm definitely staying in Hawaii because I love it here and I love what I do, but because of the physical discomfort, I can't do, I can't work much anymore doing massage therapy. So I was just hoping to, I don't know if you see something.
Well, so, I don't. To tell you the truth, I'm sorry. It's probably just me, unless one of my co-hosts has something that they want to kind of come in with. There's been too many weird phone calls tonight. That would be great. Thank you, Brenda.
First of all, you're a healer, and you do enjoy your work. Massage therapy, has a tendency to break down your body, but I feel that you could still do your work, maybe a different type of massage or a different type of healing. One of the things that I see that you might not be thinking about now is training in a different type of setting, and it feels like it's working with elderly people or people who have something having to do with a physical ailment like oncology or lymphatic drainage or something of that nature. Because when I look into it, I see you using your fingers very delicately and not pushing like really hard into the body.
Right.
I feel that could be something that's an opening for you. And it comes through a friend. You might even be surprised that some colleagues of yours are contemplating that.
Yes, thank you so much.
That's what I see. And one of the things also is part of your physical ailment looks like it could be treated. You haven't had the time to really heal yourself. It feels like you could even heal yourself to the point where you could take another day of massage instead of just at three.
Okay. Because, okay. What I most feel is like my shoulders, joint
right.
pain and low back pain. And so I don't want to get injured seriously.
No, it feels like you're going to redirect your healing energies into a softer, if that exists, a softer, more, type of healing.
Yes, there is a lymphatic drainage massage, yes. And I just had a cancer patient coming for a massage. She was here on vacation, and I gave her a really good massage, but she asked me to do some lymphatic drainage on her arms to help with the lymphatic flow because she had it removed. Mm-hmm. And
Well, that's
really
one of the things I feel that it's an opening for you. Maybe you should explore some of that.
I really enjoyed treating her. It was beautiful.
Well, there you go, my dear. I want to wish you good luck, okay?
Thank you so much. Aloha.
Aloha.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Maureen, you have
hi.
Call from Alaska.
Alaska, and I used to live in Alaska. Isn't that lovely? Hello, Alaska.
Alaska.
Hello.
Hi, may I have your name, please?
I'm calling from Fairbanks.
Fairbanks, oh, that's lovely. I flew into Anchorage, and I lived in Healy, Alaska, a small town. So, hello, and thank you for calling. What's your name?
Oh, my name is Barbara.
Barbara. Hi, Barbara. I'm ready for you. What
yes.
can I help you with?
Well, look, I played a lottery a lot, okay? And, when I tell you I spend a lot of money on this, I just wanted to know if maybe you could give me some insight into maybe some of the numbers that might be coming out.
Well,
I mean, I tell you that.
Let me tell you right off the bat, Barbara, this is the numbers I want to give you. 11, 11,
okay.
25, 14, 13, and 12. And really, I'm telling you right now, I am
whoa,
not
whoa,
very
whoa,
well
hang
versed
on,
in giving out
on,
numbers.
I got it.
Because
I'm
if I could, I would be winning
I,
already.
Hold on,
but those just came out of my mouth, so I hope I helped you. Thank you for calling.
Oh.
Bye-bye.
I hope she wins.
Yeah, me too, because if I'm winning, like I said, I don't do numbers, but it came out of my mouth. And if she does, I hope she contacts me.
Well, if she wins, she could get some therapy for the other people that called in.
Yeah. Okay. That was really nice time. Good times, guys. Good times. We asked for more callers, and we got more callers.
This was an interesting show, to say
yes.
the least.
And it was one, a memorable one for the regulars in here because they got a real rise out of it, too.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what happens when I do my show in my underwear. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I knew it.
You're married to big girl panties is what you're doing. Big girl panties.
Oh, well. It's all about reflection, really, what you send out there.
It was funny.
It was funny. Well,
fun times. I remember the fun times. Fun times.
It was fun times.
Fun times.
Well, next week we're going to be talking about tarot.
Oh, I was just getting to that.
Yes.
Yes.
And I know you and Maureen are big tarot fans, that you use tarot a lot. So
we're tarot queens. We're tarot queens.
So give us a little peek into your show.
Well, we've got Christopher Gibson joining us from the Church of Light. He's an incredible tarot teacher. And we'll be talking about the history of tarot, how it's used, the meaning and of some of the different cards and symbolism, etc. So it will be very interesting. He did a show for us on astrology some time ago. And I wanted him to come back because he's a great speaker, a very smart guy, and he's very knowledgeable. So it will be a very good show.
Oh, look forward to it. Well, that brings us to the close of another yet wonderful and interesting show tonight. I want to thank Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to all my co-hosts for hanging in there tonight through the for soldiering on, what I have to say.
You're
next
welcome.
Week's show, of course, Steve just gave us a little blurb and we're looking forward to it. So I'll say good night.
Good night.
Good night. Bless your heart. Thank you. Flatter us. Thanks.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.